said, we have the privilege of being here today. I have the privilege of giving the message, and I just want to start off by bragging a little bit on your pastor. I don't know if you all know, but Arden and I go way back, almost to the beginning of my marriage. My wife is named after his mom, and apparently his mother and his father were mentors to my in-laws, and I think Arden either had a lot of pity for me as a new pastor and not knowing what I was doing and felt like reaching out to me, or he just had an affinity for us because my wife was named after his mother. I don't know. But Arden, from the very beginning of my ministry when I was pastoring, was just an incredible encouragement to me. And you know, you guys love him. You know him. He's like that, isn't he? He's an encourager. And I just thank Arden for his incredible kindness and wisdom over the years to Nadine and I as we were in ministry. And again, we served here in the Northwest Yearly Meeting for almost 20 years. And most of that time had regular contact with Arden. And so I think I just wanted to let you know he's just a wonderful man, and his wife, truly a wonderful lady. And of course, we were here a few months ago and you guys did the pastor appreciation, and I can tell that you all just love him and appreciate him very much. And so I just wanted to let you know that. He's a good guy. To give you a little backstory on Nadine and I, we pastored three different churches in the Northwest Yearly Meeting, and then in 2005, we took a sabbatical, just needed to have some time to finish raising up our kids, and my daughter had 2 years left of high school, and now she's in her last year of college. I have one son that's in his first year of college, and I have another one that's going to be a senior next year. He's a junior, and so the time has gone by. We've really focused on just being as available to our kids as we possibly can. As you know, ministry can be all-consuming, and so we felt like it was time for us to just step aside for a while. But that's what we've been doing. One of the really unique blessings of taking a sabbatical when you've been in ministry is over the years you collect a lot of pastoral friends, you know? And you always kind of wonder what they're doing on Sunday. You know they're in church, you know they're giving the message, but you kind of wonder what's going on. So we had the privilege of going around visiting a lot of churches in Clark County. I think we visited about 30 different churches, including Cherry Grove. And it was just really very enheartening for me to realize that while I was, you know, in my church every Sunday morning giving the message and doing what we did, it was neat to realize all these other churches in the county that were meeting and all the people that love the Lord that were there. And that's one of the really neat blessings about taking the sabbatical. We did land at a church that's just down the road from us called Flight of Baptist. It was really a neat church at just the right time. Our youngest son was really plugged into the youth group. Our oldest son was at another youth group. And so we ended up attending that church for a while. But to be honest, it was a Baptist church. Nothing wrong with Baptist church. But it wasn't where we felt at home. And then we always knew someday, some way, we'd find our way back into the Friends Church just as attenders, worshipers. And Garrick went down to Twin Rocks and participated in SLP. I know that we have some SLPers here. And he just came back just really excited about Friends and about the way Friends worship and how they gather together. And it was really cool for us to hear that. It kind of gave us the green light. Let's go to Cherry Grove. So here we are. We've been coming here for a few months now. And it's just a real honor and privilege to have been asked by Arden to give this message. So if you could, somebody that's up in the booth, is there anybody up there? Could you put the definition of fellowship up that was up earlier and just keep that up during my message? What's that? Oh, yeah, time to wake up. And so when it goes up there, you guys can let me know. So, but the team did a fabulous job on what fellowship is. And so really, I don't have anything more to say. So I do want to focus on a couple of key attributes of what fellowship is, because I think it's important things to really observe in the Bible. And if you would, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're just going to spend a few minutes there. All right. And then go to the next one where it actually gives the definition of fellowship. No, the where you list out what maybe go back to the very beginning. Sorry. I wasn't taking notes. I should have took notes, but so the Bible gives some very good examples of what fellowship is. And one of the things that I think is important for us to remember that at the very core of fellowship are the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that is what brings us together. The Great Commission is our activity to go out in various activities, various ways, to let people know that there is a God in heaven who loves them and wants them to come into fellowship with him. There we go, that's perfect. Hospitality, so there. So in order for us to get to fellowship, we have to have a relationship with Christ, and we need to love God, and then we need to express that love in a way where people want to be a part of that. And then when they gather in a place like this, then all of a sudden an organized church like this, and God is a God of order, not a God of chaos, so there's a good reason for us to be organized and have committees and have functions that we do together as a body of Christ, a group of people that have decided this is a place where they want to put their roots down and kind of become known. And so as we organize ourselves, one of the organizational responsibilities at this church that they've paid a very high attention to is the idea of fellowship. Fellowship is a key ingredient to a healthy, happy, and whole church. Now, when you think about the church, and we think about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, we gather on Sunday mornings to express our love for God. We do it through worship, the singing of worship. We do it, and that's one of the things we love about Friends Church, is that we recognize that God is in our midst. And the only person that God is speaking to is not just the pastor. And so we want to give God an opportunity in our midst to have that quiet time of reflection to just see what God is doing and if he has something that he wants us to share. If anything, it is just a blessed time of quiet reflection, which I think a lot of us, just through our busy weeks, we don't have enough time of to do that. But we gather for worship. Then we are committed to evangelism. That's that going out and getting the message out there. And then we also are committed to discipleship. Sunday schools are discipleship-oriented. Small groups are discipleship-oriented. We personally have commitment to discipleship as we read our Bibles, as we read through the Bible in a year. Discipleship is an important part of who we are as a group of people. But then we have that whole aspect of fellowship. Now, I think we would agree, just because we become Christians, the moment we become Christians, we don't become mature believers, correct? It takes time. And those aspects that I just talked about help with that. But one of the things that's really important to help us as we grow into maturity in our relationship with Christ is through fellowship. Now, they talked about in the demonstration here a little while ago, they talked about all the fun and all the food, right? And when I was pastoring, one of the biggest challenges was to keep my waistline in check, because it didn't matter who I visited. If I'd go visit somebody at night making a call at somebody at their home, always they were feeding me cookies. Eat, Rich, eat! And, you know, we have a lot of food in church, and I think that's a good thing. One thing about fellowshipping together, eating together around a table, it's like we've decided to do life with each other. We've decided to say, you know what, I want to eat with you because I care about you. And so food is good. And then fun is fun. The church that we moved down here to pastor was Four Summits Community Church, and at that time we were a lot younger. And we did a lot of fun activities. We played softball in the summer. We played indoor soccer in the winter. There were movie nights. We did a lot of fun things. And so food and fun are an important part of church and an important part of fellowship. But I want to look at what the idea and the purpose of fellowship really is. In Ephesians, Paul writes in 2 verse 19, "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household." And so you and I, we belong to God's household. We are not strangers anymore. We are family. When somebody comes to know Christ, they have literally walked away from being a part of the world and separated from God into his family. And so that's something we have in common. We are part of the family of God. That song was perfect. So we identify as we look at the Great Commission, we look at the Great Commandment, we identify our connection with church in three ways. Believing. Acts says you believe with your heart and you will be saved. And then we identify our connection with the church through becoming. So those that God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. So there's this idea of growing up in our relationship with Christ as we study the Bible together, as we read and study the Bible on our own, as we meet together for worship. But then we also identify our connection with the church through belonging. Romans 12, Paul writes, "So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." So not only do we become part of a family God, but you are mine and I am yours. We can't get away from that. And what's really neat about that, which I discovered on my little sabbatical journey, was that every church I went into, I belonged to them and they belonged to me, because we're part of the same family, part of the same household. Now, while I was on one of the, there's an old TV show that a lot of you probably remember called Cheers. Remember that? The best part of that whole show was the song, the theme song. Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. Now, I went to Boston about 5 years ago, and I had to go see that place. And actually, the original Cheers bar, there is an actual underground bar that you go to, but the actual replica of the set is across town. They actually built a active live bar that's a replica. But it was cool to see that. But what was so important to me to see that was that song. Where you go and everybody knows your name, they're really glad you came. We all have the same kind of troubles, we all have the same kind of issues, and they really like you. And it's kind of a not such a positive thing, not such a positive editorial in our society that people have to go to bars to feel that way. But there's a lot of other places people go to feel that way too. One of the most significant ways that our belonging is accomplished is through fellowship in the body. And it was cool when I was asked to give this message that I got this Sunday, because fellowship is really important. And it was a neat idea to kind of ruminate on for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so I want to focus on just a few minutes on this one verse in Acts chapter 2, or at this one section, about the New Testament church, because it was something very unique, something very different, world-changing, that continues today. The New Testament uses the word koinonia to describe the word fellowship, or the word translated to fellowship. And it's talked about here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, if you would join with me just to read along. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone and anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." So we have an example in right here. The church starts. So God's people had already existed, and they had a creed, if you will, that they lived by, the Ten Commandments. And they were an obvious people. But through Christ, God opened up the door for all people to come in. And here we see the beginning of what this church looks like. And one of the things I think is really important for us to recognize is that we see a command here, or we see an example here, and then we recognize that it's from the command that Christ gave. We see an example to minister to one another. We love one another, to be kind to one another, to forgive one another. There's just a lot of one another's here. Fellowship, if you think about it, the true fellowship of believers, if we look at the Acts church and as we contemplate what is expected of us in the church, this is a true statement. True fellowship is being as committed to one another as we are to Jesus Christ. That's what true fellowship is. That's the kind of love that Christ wants us to have for one another, just as we love him.
Sorry.
So this is a true statement. True fellowship is being as committed to one another as we are to Jesus Christ. Now, I'll admit it's a lot easier to say than to do. We all have busy lives. We have things we'd rather be doing sometimes. We often don't, we know it takes time to reach out to other people, and we just don't have the time. But I think as we read through the scriptures, there's ample evidence that we are taught and expected to love one another, care for one another, whether it's inside this building or whether it's outside the building walls. John, maybe I should hold my hands out. John 13:35, Jesus says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And then Paul writes in Romans, "Accept one another just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God." Now, if you think about it, why don't people go to church? There's a lot of reasons. There are some very spiritual reasons in terms of they don't feel ready yet. But a very fundamental reason why people don't go to church is because they don't feel accepted. They don't feel loved. They slip in late, they leave early, and they go to church, and then before you know it, they've been going there a few months and they don't know a single person. A few months ago, Nadine and I, Nadine went with me. I went first, and then Nadine came with me later. We visited a church in Oregon, and it was really cool. It was one of those experiences where it was a new church, and we were just checking it out, and it was a really cool experience because we left there feeling like these people really believed what the Bible taught, and we just felt loved. I mean, I was greeted by probably about 10 different people, and I think that's a really important part of people going to church and wanting to stay, is that over a short period of time, they actually develop relationships. They go to church, and they stay because of the relationships that are built. And so they have a sense of identification. I want to talk a little bit about this idea of identification. So when we come to know Christ, when we come to a place in our lives where we say yes to Jesus Christ, we identify with him. We recognize that Christ gave up his life for us and that we've acknowledged our sin, and we've said, "God, take over." And so we've identified with him. We've connected with him. But one of the beautiful things about the church is that the goal or the idea is that we need to have an identification with the body, with one another. One of the things that I do is I ride a motorcycle. I think he still rides, doesn't he? I'll get him back on a bike. Maybe. One of the really cool things about riding a bike is everybody's your friend. You pull off at a rest stop, and there's a guy that's got a beard that's about 4 feet long, and he looks like he's probably taken out a lot of different people. And yet, you go up to him, and you start talking to him. Because you're on a bike, he's on a bike, we're friends. There's an identification there. Last year, I had the very unfortunate experience of being diagnosed with diabetes, type 2 diabetes. It used to be called adult onset. And all of a sudden now, I have an identification with people that have that condition. And we talk about, when I find out that somebody has that, we talk about, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with that? When Nate and I became parents, all of a sudden we could identify with parents. We knew the challenges. I used to figure, "Mom, why do you worry so much about me?" Now I know. I mean, the moment you become a parent, you worry, don't you? Till the day. Anyway. So we have an identification. When we come to know Christ, we have identification with one another. Think about that. When you came to know Christ, all of a sudden you experienced joy that you'd never known before, right? that we identify with each other because of that now? So we can have fellowship. I have that same joy. You know, another thing that we identify together with is peace. You know that peace that passes all understanding? Everybody around you at work is just fretting and just stressed out about the economy, whether their job's going to be there tomorrow. It doesn't mean that you don't care, but you have peace. And so when we come on Sunday morning, I'm identifying with people that have that same peace. And love. We can love people that really aren't very lovable, but it's because we have that same love. Christ did something in us that opens up our heart so that we have love for other people. If you didn't notice, I'm going through the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we have identification with. We identify with one another. And so, yes, I'm a brother. I'm a brother of yours in the family of God, but I have the same experience that you do. And so we can have that fellowship. We can have that friendship. We can have that community, that sense of belonging together because of our identifying together with each other. So as you look at the scripture in Acts chapter 2, we are that church today. And what we need to remember is that we belong to one another. We belong to God, and out of that we can create this sense of community. And the fellowship that we have together is really can be very, very powerful. It is wonderful activities that these ladies just went through, which is really cool for a small to medium church like Cherry Grove to have so much activity. But it's beyond just the activity. It's that sense of belonging, that sense of community, that sense of identification. Every single day, every single Sunday when we get together, every time you visit somebody who is part of your church or who is part of the church of God, you can identify with them. We have that same peace, that same joy, that same love. God reached into our lives and changed us, and we experience that together. We can identify. I think one of the things that's really important about church is we do have the small groups like the Zumba and the worship teams and by the way, one of the things I want to say real fast, when Nadine and I are visiting churches, the worships go all over, the worship teams are all over the place, you know. But something that was always really impressive to us, and it's impressive to us about Cherry Grove, is how you bring the youth into the worship. I think that's awesome. Because they're the ones that are going to continue to bring worship, bring us through worship in the worship team. And when these college-age kids get up to be our age, there's going to be another crop because you've set an example. So I just want to commend. But God calls us to fellowship, to identify with one another, and be part of a community. One thing that I think is important to recognize as part of this is Proverbs 18:24. He writes, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to a brother." And the concept of fellowship, as they displayed it so wonderfully, is something that we can agree with on and we like. But let me just challenge you with this closing statement, is that one of the most important things that we can do in the church, one of the most important things, is to develop friendships. We're not coming just to worship, which is an important part. We're not coming just for discipleship, learning more about our faith and developing our faith. We're not coming just for evangelism, to share the word with those outside the community, but we really are supposed to have friends here. Small f. And I want you to look around. How many of these people here are your friends? Friends that are closer than a brother. That's what we're supposed to be to each other. Through what Christ has done in us, the identification we have for one another, we can truly be friends closer than a brother.